There he is. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's begin our worship with some singing. Would you stand and sing with us, please?
2, 3, 4, and...
said, amen. Please be seated.
Welcome and greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So proud of you for coming out of the cold, cold weather to be here in church today. And it's getting colder. But you'll be fine. We'll all be fine. You've got a bullet today that has some important announcements on it and places for you to come and share with us. In the pews in front of you are blue cards for first-time guests, if you don't mind giving us information, and the yellow card is our prayer card, which we will use to give to our prayer team any of your prayer requests so that we will pray for you. Finally, today, coffee and conversation. If you want to stay after church, not because you're in trouble or in timeout, but because you want to visit with me and others in the church, I'll be in the fellowship hall. At 11:15, we'll have some coffee, we'll have some conversation, whatever you want to talk about, feel free to stay after church and visit. And now, I think we're ready. Let us begin our time of worship together.
Good morning. My name is Susan McCarron, and it's my privilege to be your worship lay leader this morning for the very first time. So, if you would please stand in body or spirit as we welcome the light of Christ. Our first scripture reading is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. I will be reading from the New Life Version, and you can find this scripture in the Pew Bible on page number 1063. Listen now for a word from God. Christian brothers, if a person is found doing some sin, you who are stronger Christians should lead that one back into the right way. Do not be proud as you do it. Watch yourself, because you may be tempted also. Help each other in troubles and problems. This is the kind of law Christ asks us to obey. If anyone thinks he is important when he is nothing, he is fooling himself. Everyone should look at himself and see how he does his own work. Then he can be happy in what he has done. He should not compare himself with his neighbor. Everyone must do his own work. He who is taught God's word should share the good things he has with his teacher. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather in worship today, let us be mindful of those who need our compassion and grace. Make us ever ready to extend a hand of gentle care and restoration. Do not let judgment cloud our minds and hearts, but instead, fill us, dear Lord, with the unwavering spirit of encouragement, so that in moments of weariness and doubt, we may be bearers of hope, uplifting one another. May our words and actions be instruments of your love, reminding each other of the strength that lies within and the unwavering support of your embrace. As we walk this shared journey, may we carry one another's burdens with lightness and love. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus, your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like the fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like the fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Thank you, praise band. You had some angels singing with you in the front pew. I heard them. At this time, I want to invite those angels, all the kiddos, up for our spark moment before we head on out to spark worship. Come on up here. Good morning. Who needs coffee this morning?
Me.
Yes, everyone.
What about hot cocoa?
Hot cocoa works too. I've been stumbling over all of my words this morning. I've been stumbling over all of my words this morning, so we'll see how I do in my children's sermon, okay? Are you ready? Who made a New Year's resolution this year? Did anybody make one? How's it going? Have you kept it?
Definitely
not. What about my grown-ups? Did anybody make a resolution? How many people didn't try? No. How many people made a silly one that they knew they couldn't break? I did that. My resolution this year is to not get attacked by a koala bear, and I'm pretty certain that I can accomplish that in 2024. That's the point. I can't break that resolution, can I? When we make resolutions, we are often by the second or third week in January, we've broken them. It's a trend that's noticed all over the world when people make resolutions. Why do you think that is? We give up, right? As soon as we make a commitment, we see all of the reasons why we shouldn't keep that commitment. We see all of the temptations in place to break that commitment, right? And it becomes harder and harder and harder to keep that commitment that we made. When you guys were baptized, your parents or you, as a choice, made a commitment to be raised in God's ways, right? It's a big commitment. It takes daily work to keep that commitment, to follow God's path for each and every one of you. And whoever is helping to raise you, whether it is your parents, whether it is the church, they've made that commitment too. Jesus made that commitment. We're going to learn about his baptism today. But do you know what happened with Jesus immediately after he made that commitment? We learned about it in Sunday school. He got led out into the wilderness and was tempted for 40 days. And if that's not real life, I don't know what is. Every time I make a resolution or a commitment to change something in my life, I'm immediately tempted to give up and to go back to the way I was doing things. So today in Spark Worship, we are going to talk about the baptism and the temptation of Jesus. We're going to learn how Jesus focused and avoided temptation. We're going to sing Stand Firm, and then we're going to play The Floor is Sin or Lava. And we're going to avoid sin in our lives. Does that sound good? All right, let's bow our heads, fold our hands, close our eyes, and say, Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
We will remember our baptism.
We will remember our baptism.
And our commitment to you.
And our commitment to you.
Whenever temptation comes.
Whenever temptation comes.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to go straight out the back and line up at the back door for Spark Worship.
Thank you, Jesse. What a great reminder.
for us today. We talked about Jesus' baptism last week, and as Jesse said, Jesus was led immediately into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights where he was tempted. We'll talk a little bit more about that. As we go before God ourselves and pray, releasing everything that is on our minds and hearts, anything that is weighing you down in worry, let's just give it to God and speak the name of Jesus over it. And as we do that, let's prepare our hearts to pray. God of protection and strength, each day there are forces that pull us away from you. And as we begin each new day, we ask you to call our attention to the temptations that lurk in our own lives. Protect us from these temptations common to our lives. Protect us from the temptation to see other people as enemies or as competition. Lord, hear our prayers. Protect us from growing cynical about what is possible in our own lives. Lord, hear our prayers. Protect us from our tendency to hoard resources and think that material wealth is the path to happiness. Lord, hear our prayers. Protect us, O God, from our inclination to live for ourselves and to close our eyes to the needs of those around us. Lord, hear our prayers. Guard us today, Lord. Guard our hearts that we who seek to follow you would continue to lead a life not into temptation, but as we ask in the Lord's Prayer to deliver us from evil, as we all pray in one accord the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the Bible. B-I-B-L-E. There's a song. Does Kathy, you know that song? Say it. B-I-B-L-E. Okay. She knows this song. Do y'all know it? So also, the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, you may have heard it called Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Get it, Bible? Well, that's a popular backronym. You know what a backronym is? It's when we make up words for other words, like Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. That's a good backronym for Bible. And it may help us to remember the importance of the Bible, as it emphasizes that the Bible can provide us guidance and wisdom in every help that we need for navigating our life. No matter how you say it, the Bible is central to all Christian teaching. We are told to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to pray and meditate over it. We are told to apply its teachings in our lives. We are told to live the Bible. And perhaps every single Bible should come with a warning, a spoiler alert, reminding us of the words found in Hebrew chapter 4, verse 12, that says, For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of our soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Bible reveals the truth. It exposes our deepest selves, and it challenges us to challenge our own assumptions. So the Bible can bring both comfort and a little conviction. It can bring solace and hope. It can also be a tool for exposing sin and calling for repentance. Yes, look around. You are in a United Methodist Church, and we are talking about the power of the Bible. If you go to other churches, some most of them will carry their Bible in to church. You can always tell when you come to a Methodist church as a visitor and they're carrying Bibles. Oh, you're new here. Well, maybe that's because we have pew Bibles in front of you, right? But a lot of people carry that tool with them because we believe that reading the Bible with open minds and open hearts will give us basic instructions before leaving Earth. Now, our Bible reading this morning is important because it gives us some pretty firm instructions on how to live a life of faith following the example of Christ. So let's listen closely to the reading of the story of the temptation of Jesus Christ. This is a pivotal event. It began at the beginning of Jesus' ministry after he was baptized, and he is tested by the devil, called Satan, in the Judean wilderness. And the Bible records these events that happened to Jesus when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to face his biggest enemy, our biggest enemy. Listen now for a word from God as we seek understanding of how Christ faced and overcame every temptation, that we too may gain insight into our own struggles and into our own temptations and find encouragement to live faithfully in the face of every temptation and challenge. The story comes to you from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. If you look in the pew Bibles in front of you, you'll find it on page 879. If you have your own Bible with you, God bless you for bringing your own Bible. I'm going to be reading, as Susan did, from the New Life Version. Will you listen now for a word from God about when Jesus was tempted? Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into a desert. There he was tempted by the devil. Jesus went without food for 40 days and 40 nights. After that, he was hungry. The devil came tempting him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell those stones to be made into bread." But Jesus said, "It is written, man is not to live on bread only. Man is to live by every word that God speaks." And then the devil took Jesus up to Jerusalem, the holy city. He had Jesus stand at the highest part of the house of God. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. It is written, he has told his angels to look after you. In their hands they will hold you up. Then your foot will not hit against a stone." And Jesus said to the devil, "It is written also that you must not tempt the Lord your God." And again the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain, and he had Jesus look out at all the nations of the world to see how great they were. And he said to Jesus, "I'll give you all the nations if you will get down at my feet and worship me." And Jesus said to the devil, "Get away, Satan. It is written, you must worship the Lord your God. You must obey him only." And then the devil went away from him. And the angels came and cared for him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Have you ever gotten a spoiler alert for the Bible? Yet I do think it's important for you to know the power and authority that the Bible holds for Christians, especially on today's topic. Now, I realize that there are some people that do not believe in the power of the devil or Satan or evil. They may even think, if I believe in the power of evil, I may empower evil in my life and in the world. But that is not what we read from our Bible account. But you have the right to believe whatever you would like to believe. Because I believe that every single reading of the Bible is an interpretation based on the Spirit's work in us, the Spirit's relationship within us, and our understanding of God. And personally, I have seen and experienced the effect of evil in my own life and in the world. If any of you have ever done something called Kairos ministry, Carl, we have seen the hand of evil at work in our prisons. If you were alert, alive, or awake, and look around the neighborhood, look around the city, look at our state, our country, the world, you have seen the effect of evil. When we consider wars and how we damage one another, you have seen evil. I believe that we can easily overcome the effect of evil and the power of the devil, because that's what the Bible says. So be advised. You are going to learn some things today about how the devil works, and more importantly, some ways for you to reclaim the power that God has given you, that God has promised us, that we might overcome every temptation. And to that, I hope you say amen. Amen. As we consider this story, I think of 40 days in the wilderness, this experience for Jesus, as something what I would call like a spiritual boot camp. Jesus was being prepared for the challenges and demands of his public ministry. Now, some of you have gone through boot camp. Raise your hand if you've been in the military boot camp. God bless you. Because I understand, I've never been in military boot camp, but I hear it's hard and it is dangerous. And you, when you go through the demands of military boot camp, you know about it. Now, of course, I went to seminary for 3 years. I consider that spiritual boot camp. We didn't have to do any exercises or climb walls or even crawl in the mud. But we did go through a program designed to train us. Just like boot camp trained you to be physically fit, to be disciplined, to be mentally tough. And, you know, there are professional boot camps out there, too. Intensive training programs that are designed to help people to be equipped for the role that they play in the world. Their skills and knowledge for a particular career field. And then there are fitness boot camps. Anybody go to those? Thank you. They have physical boot camps where they're like yelling at you and you're lifting tires and you're moving stuff. And again, it's about preparing and building for resilience, for preparing for new challenges. Today, after we have a little bit of time in service, we're going to have a presentation from the Boy Scouts. They are all about preparation. So do you have Boy Scout boot camp? No? We'll work on that. Boot camps are intensive training programs to help you build your skill and knowledge. And so think about this, that Jesus went out into the desert, and maybe it was a spiritual boot camp for him. 40 days in the wilderness, testing his resolve, honing his spiritual strength, equipping him with firsthand knowledge of human struggles. The Bible teaches that Jesus was fully human, born of Mary, lived as a human being, experienced hunger and thirst and sorrow. He is fully connected to humanity, and he understands our suffering. And Jesus was fully divine. He is the Son of God, and he shares in the same essence and nature of God the Father. And while on earth, Jesus, he had performed many miracles, and he claimed his divine authority, and for that he was killed. Jesus remains for us the bridge between us and between God. Jesus identifies with our struggles against sin and evil. And Jesus stands with us and demonstrates that even though he's divine, he understands the complexity of human nature. And he showed us how we might overcome every temptation. Now, we can find Jesus' response to each temptation as a practical lesson for our boot camp, with inspiring examples of how we can resist the temptations that are applied to us by relying on our faith through scriptures and with a clear understanding of God's will. Jesus faced three temptations in this taunting conversation with the devil. The first was the temptation to turn stones into bread. Then the temptation of gaining worldly power. And then the temptation of testing God. Now, these temptations are also common to our human condition. We know we have to eat. We are concerned about our worldly positions. And like it or not, we test God. We test God in our own lives all the time. And each of these temptations Jesus faced are in our human condition, our basic instincts, in our own vulnerabilities. God knows that we have physical and psychological and social and emotional and spiritual human needs. And the devil knows that we have physical, psychological, social, emotional, and spiritual needs. The devil knows our weakness. And he found them firsthand in our ancestor Eve in the first book of the Bible in Genesis when he fooled her into trusting him instead of God. But that's a story for another day. How did Jesus combat the devil's snare and these temptations? I believe it's first because he was grounded in Scripture. Grounded. He countered every temptation by quoting Scripture. He demonstrated his deep understanding and reverence of God's Word, and he used it as a shield against the schemes of the enemy. Like Jesus, each of us are inevitably going to face an encounter with the tempter. He whispers in our ears. He preys on our vulnerabilities. He tries to lead us astray. But fear not. We are not defenseless. We have the tools that Jesus used against the scheme of the enemy, the Bible, Holy Scripture, the Word of Truth. If we know the Bible is not just some dusty book in someone's library filled with old tales, it is the living Word of God. And when doubt clouds our minds, a verse of hope can penetrate through with strength, with resolve. When we are afraid or upset, a verse can come through us and clear up any confusion. Just this past Friday, I was on the phone with my cell phone provider. I won't tell you who it is. But I called because I was trying to make a payment, and it wouldn't let me make a payment. And it wouldn't let me make a payment, and it wouldn't let me pay. Now, if you're like me, I wait till the very last day to pay because I don't want to give them my money too soon. I confess that to you, Kathy. So I'm on the phone, I'm on the computer, I'm trying to make my payment to Verizon. And it wouldn't take it, so I had to talk to the chat bot. That'll test your patience. The chat bot couldn't help me, and the chat bot said, well, let me let you talk to Anna, who no doubt Anna is in Bangladesh, trying to help me solve my problems. And I just got madder and madder and madder because they couldn't help me resolve my problem. I got so angry. And I wanted to strike out at them and type really nasty things to their chatbot. They did at one point say, we understand your frustration. No, you do not. And all of a sudden, in my head came this verse. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It just popped in my head. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That comes from Nehemiah 8:10. I probably know a song. You know a song. The joy of the Lord is in my heart. And when I started saying that, I said, Verizon, you're not going to steal my joy. I'm not going to get angry because I have the joy of the Lord. It completely changed my countenance. That's what a Bible verse can do for you. The system was still awful. They still didn't take my payment right then, but I was changed. I experienced the joy of the Lord. And you too have that power through the verse. In just a moment, my mind was changed. My mind was filled with God's Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If you do not know the Word of God, it is impossible for you to call upon it when you are in a time of need. But thank goodness there is Google. Because you can type in Google if you're feeling hopeless. Give me a scripture on hopelessness. Give me a scripture on faith. Give me a scripture on anger. And Google will answer you and give you hundreds of verses. Pick one and then begin to claim that for yourself. Because not only did I claim that verse aloud, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You're not going to steal my joy today. And it works. I also find for me personally that singing scripture is fun, and it's a way for me to memorize. You can find CDs, tapes, and recordings online or in the store where you can just listen to the scripture over and over and over, bathe yourself in it, sing it, and you will find sources to face every challenge that you will have. When you have any temptation, first thing, what did Jesus do? He went to the Word. You have that power. The same power, and we can use and know God's word to resist any temptation. The next lesson that Jesus taught us when dealing with the devil is not to test or tempt God, but to rely fully upon God's power and guidance. When we fully rely on God, that's another backronym, FROG. FROG, fully rely on God. Write that down. And when you get tempted, you're just going to say, I'm going to call on the frog, where I will fully rely on God. Because those of us who do that trust wholeheartedly in God's power, in God's guidance, in God's provisional care. And this involves for us surrender and prayer and seeking God's will in every aspect of our life. And when we're tempted, especially when we're tempted and we believe the lies of the enemy, it's time for us to fully rely upon God. Rely upon God's timing, that God will act for us. And that takes faith, even when we're uncertain. When we try to tempt or test God, we are often motivated by our own doubts or by pride or by a desire to manipulate God for our own personal gain. But when we are frogs, because we are not tempted to test God by demanding God's power be proved to fulfill our own personal desires or reckless, disobedient ways. Here are a few more froggy verses for you. You'll love this one because it comes from Proverbs 3:5, and you should remember this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Proverbs, that's 3:5 and 6. Another one comes from Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God in all that you do. Where's the verse? Seek God in all. Ah, this is easy. Seek God in God's righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And from Deuteronomy, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And from Matthew 4:10 that we read today, it is written, you must worship the Lord your God, and obey him only. Jesus shows us how to fully rely on God, that we might genuinely trust in God, seek God's guidance, and he showed us how to take active steps of faith, knowing the wisdom found in Scripture, by praying diligently, using all our skills and resources that God has given us. The lesson Jesus teaches us in this final thing in the temptation verses, the final temptation from the devil, is found in his response to Satan when Jesus said this. Satan said to him, I will give you all the nations if you'll get down at your feet and worship me. And Jesus said to the devil, get away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and you must obey him only. Every time I say that, get behind me, Satan, I always think of the church lady on SNL. Because they make fun of, you know, us. And you don't always have to stand and shout out in a crowd, get behind me, Satan. But you could if you needed to. I would understand. Jesus' words are our masterclass on effective resistance against spiritual manipulation. And if you think for a moment you are not spiritually manipulated, then you are really at risk of being spiritually manipulated. When Jesus acknowledged the tempter, Satan, he showed his awareness of whom he was engaged with in this spiritual battle. He doesn't shy away from identifying the evil force behind temptation. He stood firm on Scripture instead of engaging or negotiating. Jesus cited Scripture directly, and he placed his focus on God when he said, you must worship the Lord your God. You must obey him only. See, this proves Jesus' unwavering devotion to God. He prioritized his obedience, absolute obedience in worship to God above all else, leaving no room for compromise in the devil's enticements. He showed that he absolutely, positively set firm boundaries when he commanded the devil to say, "Satan, get away." Jesus established clear boundaries when he asserted his power over evil forces. Taking control of the situation and refusing to let the devil dictate the conversation. Now, there have been times when we were in Kairos, and I say that because Carl, anybody else here do Kairos? Kairos is prison ministry. It's a walk to Emmaus in prison. And we would set up the microphones in the gym in the prison so that people could hear us to give talks and sing and pray. And we would get up to talk after everything's hooked up and tested, and the mics would stop. And we'd go check the plugs, and everything's plugged in. And then we'd just circle up and pray. And guess what happened? The mics would work. This didn't happen one or two times. It happened a lot. And we prayed through it. We said, "Satan, get behind us, because these people need to hear this word." And God was faithful. And every single time, the microphones worked. That's not accidental. And if you think it is, that's okay. Because the path for Christians, our pathway, is not always paved with sunshine and lollipops. I wish it was. But there will be times when each of us will face temptations and darkness found in the chilling words of the tempter. But fear not. Within each of us is the power and authority over these lies to claim God's power and promise. We can be just like Jesus and remind the tempter who really holds the power. We never need to be tempted again by the allure of power or pleasure or ease. We can meet each temptation with Scripture, with unwavering faith, by claiming the power of Jesus' name. Now, the Bible gives us great news. Not just stories of the past, but testaments of power that reside with each of us. And when doubt whispers, when temptation beckons, when darkness threatens to engulf us, we've got to remember to be resolute in our spirit like Christ. We've got to claim the power, not through worldly means, but through unwavering conviction that God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I invite you to prepare your heart to offer your presence to the Lord. Cheryl always asks the lay leader to comment on why we give. And I give as an expression of my love for God and as thanks for the abundant life that I enjoy. Will the ushers please come forward to receive our morning offering? Please stand in body or spirit for the doxology. Let us pray. Almighty God, you know that every day we face temptations that try to pull us away from you. Yet you are patient and persistent as you guard our hearts and minds so that we may live faithfully and follow Jesus' example. Thank you for providing a place for us to live and learn, to give and care for your kingdom on earth. Today, O God, we praise you and seek your blessing upon these gifts. May they be used to further your kingdom and provide compassion and care for your people here and around the world. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite Justin Kirk and Dick Baldwin to come forward for a special scouting presentation.
I'm Justin Kirk. I'm Assistant Scoutmaster with Troop 401, your troop here. And this is Dick.
And I'm Dick Baldwin, the Charter Organization Representative between the church and the troop.
And Lifeline Scout, yes. Yes. Can I ask the scouts to come up too, please? And just line up right here. So everybody can see you. They hate this, but that's too bad. So I was proud to lead a group of scouts to Philmont last June 2023. And if those of you that don't know anything about Philmont, it's a 140,000-acre scout ranch in the mountains of New Mexico. And these scouts, our troop, we camp every month, but Philmont is a special experience that is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And these scouts and our older scouts get an opportunity to go for that, and they don't always get to go. And so I led 10 scouts. These are a few of them that went, except for Austin. He was too young. But this is my son, Austin. And they backpacked through the mountains for 7 days, packing in everything that they needed, food and water. And they hiked 55 miles. It was a grueling hike through the mountains. And they cooked for themselves and everything, took care of first aid, whatever they needed. And so this is Tarab. Say hi. This is Shreyas. This is Parker. They were on the Philmont crew. And the reason we're here today is because we couldn't have done it without you. Some of you may remember we did some fundraising. We did taco sales out in front of the church. And that was a big part of how we got there, right? It's not easy to get there, to get 13 people, 10 scouts, and 3 adults all the way to New Mexico for 10 days. And so we really appreciate all your help, and we're very grateful to be part of this community. So thank you very much. And we got this plaque made for the church. And so it's got some photos on there of our experience there at Philmont and the crew.
Oh, that's great. We're going to hang this in the fellowship hall with our others so that we'll all be able to see it.
Great. Thank you.
Says hello to Fields United Methodist Church. Thank you for helping us get to Philmont. Scout Troop 401, June 2023.
Yep. And like I said, we're very grateful for this community and very, very thankful. So we wanted to express our gratitude, and also it wasn't just this trip. So this crew kind of kicked off a new tradition with Troop 401. We're continuing to do High Adventure, which is a special experience for the older scouts. So in 2025, we've got another crew that's going to go, not these guys, and we're going to go to Sea Base, which is in Florida, which is a sailing experience for another week. And some of these guys will go, like these two will go, and then other scouts from our troop. Anyway, so maybe more to come. So.
More fundraising to come.
Anyway, but thank you very much. We wanted to take the time to come in person and thank you. So.
Thank you. Thanks, Justin. Thank you, scouts. Thank you, Dick. Thanks, Justin. This is kind of like a mini temptation wilderness experience, because they do go out in the wilderness, and they do get prepared for what life will throw at them. So we'll continue to support you and hold you in our thoughts and prayers as you go. Better you than us. They camped out last time, I think it was pouring rain. And some Sundays you'll see them out, if you look out the back there, little tents are out there. It's not a homeless encampment. It's Boy Scouts. So rest assured, we're well surrounded and cared for, the Scouts. Thank you. So in worship, we always end our time together with a discipleship statement. And discipleship means we go out into the world to be Christ for others. We have been empowered with the Word of God, not just today, but every day. And so we are sent forth into that very world where we're going to face temptation, and we're going to face evil, and we're going to face Satan. But we have overcome. You don't ever need to be afraid, because you have the power within you to fight any temptation. And if you have any problems with that, you call, because we'll be there for you. We'll be there for you in prayer and care when you need it. Amen? So let's stand in body or spirit and say what we believe together is our mission here at Helotes Hills United Methodist Church. Our mission, the mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church, is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and the world. And I know you're up for it. You have everything it takes. No matter what you face today, in the cold winter of the year, you are protected by our Savior Jesus. Go out into the world and proclaim that peace and power that you have. And don't let the tempter win this round, okay? So go forth in the power of this blessing. May the Lord God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, guide you, and guard you all the days of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.